From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, presenting a series of studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called One King, One Lord. The text is Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and His name one. Blessed prospect! This is no dream of an enthusiast, but the declaration of the infallible Word. Jehovah shall be known among all people, and His gracious sway shall be acknowledged by every tribe of man. Today it is far from being so. Where do any bow before the great King? How much there is of rebellion! What lords many and gods many there are on this earth! Even among professed Christians, what diversities of ideas there are about Him and His gospel! One day there shall be one King, one Jehovah, and one name for the living God. O Lord, hasten it. We daily cry, Thy kingdom come. We will not discuss the question as to when this shall be, lest we lose the comfort of the certainty that it shall be. So surely as the Holy Ghost spake by His prophets, so surely shall the whole earth be filled with the glory of the Lord. Jesus did not die in vain. The Spirit of God worketh not in vain. The Father's eternal purposes shall not be frustrated. Here, where Satan triumphed, Jesus shall be crowned, and the Lord God Omnipotent shall reign. Let us go our way to our daily work and warfare, made strong in faith.
Jesus is King.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns will continue his series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit as he commences a message entitled, The Joy of the Spirit. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, addressing the subject of Christian liberty, the Apostle Paul wrote, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In this verse, we find the components of Christian joy. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, this joy is faith's response to the gospel and is experienced only through the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Now, Dr. Cairns brings the first portion of this message on the joy of the Spirit.
As we continue with the messages on the person and work of the Holy Spirit, we're going to take as the text some words in Romans 14, verse 17. Some months ago, I preached 3 Sunday evening messages on this text, so it may seem a little strange returning to it so quickly, but I want us to isolate the last line. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Miserable Christianity is a contradiction in terms. Joy and the gospel really can never be separated. And as we read the Scriptures, both in the Old and in the New Testament, we can only be impressed with the constant emphasis upon joy and upon rejoicing. You will find as you look at the Scriptures of both Testaments that the joy of the Lord is the rightful possession of all the redeemed of the Lord. You remember the Lord Jesus gave it out as His purpose for His people that their joy might be full. John 16:24. That is a very important statement by Christ, and it will repay the closest scrutiny and study in the behalf of God's people. It is His purpose that their joy might be full. Nehemiah, in those well-quoted words, in chapter 8 and verse 10, said, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Peter pronounced the joy of the Lord from his own personal experience to be joy unspeakable, indescribable, surpassing far the ability of human language to express it. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's a very important part of the description. It is not merely an unspeakably great feeling, but it is a joy that is rooted in the glory of God. It is a joy that rejoices in the glory of God. It is never to be divorced from a sense of divine majesty. The joy of the Lord may lead men to shout and sing and praise God in ways that may ruffle the feathers of dead orthodoxy, but it will never at any time be the cause of any expression or any behavior that would not be consonant with the majesty of God. The joy of the Lord will never lead a man to forget who God is and into whose presence he comes. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. In the words of our text, the Apostle Paul gives joy a place in this triple description of the essentials of the gospel. The kingdom of God is righteousness, it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. If I may revert to the outline of the text I gave you those few months ago, the kingdom of God is righteousness, it is reconciliation, and it is rejoicing. And that tells us that the joy of the Lord is something that inheres in the very nature of the gospel. It is natural that with righteousness, dealing with our guilt toward God, the removal of our guilt, justification by the free grace of God, with peace or reconciliation, with the removal of our enmity and our alienation from God, it is natural that there should come the joy of the Lord, or as Paul calls it here, joy in the Holy Ghost. Now it's imperative as we consider this text and this subject that we do learn that Christian joy is experienced only through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. In most of what is written or spoken about the joy of the Lord, there is peculiarly little reference to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And while there are many things that may be said about Christian joy in the light of the person and work of Christ, in the light of the purpose and plan and power of God our Father, yet none of these things will ever touch our hearts apart from the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is a joy that can, by definition, only be experienced in the Spirit. So this morning we're going to think, as the Lord helps and enables, upon the joy of the Spirit. I think it's probably good before we do anything to understand what we're talking about. Joy is a little word. And I dare say that everybody thinks he knows what it means. But I have a shrewd suspicion that there may be some difficulty in many people in putting into words just what joy is. Dictionary definition of joy is very simple. It is a vivid emotion of pleasure. And that's a very broad definition of joy. To try and narrow it down a little theologically, joy is, in the broadest theological sense, the response of the mind to any spiritually pleasurable experience. It's the response of the mind to a spiritually pleasurable experience. To narrow it down even further, it's very interesting that the Old Testament words for joy have in them the idea of shining with brightness. The idea of radiating the glory of the Lord. Now that will give you a picture of joy, and many ways that's better than a definition. A man who has the joy of the Lord is a man who will be shining with the very glory of the Lord. Jesus Christ within him, in the person of his Spirit, will, as it were, be shining through him with his own glory. That brightness is obviously the effect of the gospel upon the soul. When the gospel really touches the soul and really has an effect upon the inmost being, it causes this bright, shining exuberance, this vivid spiritual emotion, this reaction of the spiritual mind to the gospel as it's applied to it. One old preacher, or should I say one old theological dictionary, I can't remember who the writer was at this particular part of the dictionary, but it says that joy is no mere gaiety that knows no gloom. It is no mere gaiety that knows no gloom. It is the result of the triumph of faith. It is the result of the triumph of faith. It is faith's response to the gospel. This is the joy of the Spirit. Now I want us to take these thoughts that are in that statement, or that title, The Joy of the Spirit, Joy and the Spirit, and just bring them together in a few different ways. First of all, the work of the Spirit is the source of our joy. And I want to emphasize this. The work of the Holy Spirit is the source of Christian joy. The gospel can never bring spiritual joy unless and until it is applied to the heart by the personal ministry of God the Holy Spirit. When a man has received the consolations of the Spirit, one old Puritan said, he is in the skirts and suburbs of heaven. I think that's a lovely way to put it. He begins to enter in upon his country and his inheritance. When the Holy Spirit has begun to apply the consolations of the gospel, when the Holy Spirit takes the gospel out of the realm of mere doctrine, however important that doctrine, and applies it to the heart and makes it experience to us, then has heaven begun. That's why the apostle in Galatians 5:22 calls joy the fruit of the Spirit. We have looked in some detail in past months at the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer. I'm not going through all that again, but we start with regeneration. And think of this. Had the Holy Spirit not regenerated us, had He not breathed life into spiritually dead people, what joy could we ever have had in the death of our sin? I tell you, there is no real joy to people who are dead in sin. While a man is dead in sin, and he's under the wrath and the condemnation of God, and he's only a heartbeat away from hell, and there's only a whisker between him and the lake of fire, that man has no joy. Oh, there may be laughter. There may be the folly of the world that gives rise to that laughter. But I think of the words of Solomon when he said, "The laughter of fools is as the crackling of thorns under the pot." There's much noise to it. My friend, it's in the fire and it's going to be destroyed. What joy could we have had He not regenerated us? What joy could we have had in the depravity of our sins had He never sanctified us? Had the Holy Spirit never come to implant first that principle of holiness, that new bias of heart and mind and will toward Christ? Had He not continued that sanctifying work? Had He not continued making us uneasy in sin, giving us more and more a hatred of sin, creating within us a love for holiness and a desire after the God of holiness? Had He never done all that? What joy could you ever have in the depravity of sin? It's one of the great lies of the devil, that if you'll only pollute your soul, you'll have joy. One of the great lies of the devil, if you will only sell out to the flesh, you'll have joy. There are people across this country this morning, and they're destroying body and mind and soul for time and for eternity, because they're selling out to the instant gratification of lust or evil desire, believing the devil's lie that this will bring them lasting joy and happiness, and it never does. It can't do it. The old Puritans used to give good advice about happiness. It's the very opposite to what people have in mind today. And though it's so near to the 4th of July, I'm afraid the founding fathers, and I mean the real founding fathers of this country, had a different view from the men who wrote your famous constitutional documents, because they did not believe in the pursuit of happiness. It comes as something of a shock. They did not believe in the pursuit of happiness. They believed in being happy. This notion of the old Puritans who never could be happy is an absolute fallacy. They believed in being happy, but they never believed in making happiness a goal. They believed, make holiness your goal, and God will make you happy. And I believe that theology. That's real theology. That's practical theology. You'll never be happy in sin. If you're not saved this morning, I want to tell you, guilt and misery are the natural results of the fall. And they pursue you through life. And if you live and die without Christ, they'll pursue you through eternity. Had God the Holy Spirit not sanctified us then, how could we ever have joy? ¶¶
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.